Our exhortation comes from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 1. It's only going to be one verse that's going to be preached today. But the reason why I wanted to start a series in Habakkuk is it also fits the theme of our prayer service before we have a worship service. And so we see how Habakkuk has a conversation with the Lord. And this conversation is a revelation given to him. This is a series that I started in the Abbey last year. Didn't get to finish, but hopefully I can finish sometime this year when the Abbey opens up. But as we open up to God's Word, let us stand and read it. I'm going to read the first four verses, but I'm going to exhort on the first verse. This is the word of the Lord. Please meekly receive it. The oracle that Habakkuk, the prophet, saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. This is Isaiah's complaint, Habakkuk's complaint. Let us pray and ask for the Lord's blessing upon his message. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that you have allowed us to gather together to pray unto you. And we see here, Father, an example of prayer, a heartfelt prayer. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to understand this oracle as we start this series in Habakkuk. Help us to see who you are. Help us to rely upon you more. May this word, Father, go forth and bear much fruit in our lives throughout the week. Help us to understand, even in this short verse, the weightiness of it, the power, how powerful it is, and how majestic it is. For every word is profitable unto us. And we pray, Lord, that this word would do just that as you have allowed it to do. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. This verse may seem insignificant. This verse may seem as not much food for your soul. Maybe in your own private devotion, your private reading of the scriptures, you skip over this verse and don't linger and meditate upon it. But there is a lot here, actually, in this very short verse that we have before us. The teaching that we have in this verse is that God's people receive special revelation from his prophets. And point number two, that Jehovah gives his revelation to his prophets to speak to the people, his word. So point number one, Jehovah's people receive his special revelation. This is an oracle that comes from God. But what is an oracle? That's what we're going to find out. What is contained in this specific oracle? And lastly, what is the context of this oracle? So what is an oracle? This is a type of prophetic utterance. That's what the word literally means, an utterance. An utterance and a declaration. The prophet Nahum used this same word in his oracle. It says the oracle concerning Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum of Elkosh, Nahum 1:1. Isaiah 22, he uses the same exact word, the oracle concerning the valley of vision. These are the things that the prophets receive from the Lord. It's an utterance, a statement of what the Lord wants his people to know. In the scriptures, it is a communication, particularly a communication from God given for man's guidance, particularly the people that are under his care, God's people. It's an utterance from the prophet unto the people, giving them guidance. But it is often translated in other translations, burden. And this is definitely, as you read in Habakkuk, that's why I read the following verses. This is definitely not only an utterance that Habakkuk is to give, but it is a burden upon his heart, a burden, a message that brings judgment upon his people, a message that he needs to hear himself as he is a man that's fallen just like everybody else. He sees lawlessness. He sees wretchedness. And it's not just in the whole world. He sees it in the church. And so this is a burden, definitely a burden. The word introduces a message of judgment to the people in almost every case that a prophet uses it. Every time we see the word oracle, there's judgment after it. There's judgment after it. In the case of Habakkuk, it is rightly understood that this is an utterance, but also a physical burden that is upon his heart. But with all that being said, this is a vital revelation that the Lord has given to Habakkuk, and that the Lord has given to Habakkuk, and Habakkuk gives to the people. So that is what makes the word inspired. It is authoritative. It's not just Habakkuk speaking his own complaint. That is true. He has a complaint to the Lord. But this word is inspired. This word is authoritative, and it is to be received as authoritative. It doesn't matter that it is expressed by Habakkuk in his own concerns towards the nation. It is a word that the Lord wants to give to the people. Now, the second thing, what is contained in this oracle? Habakkuk records his conversations with the Lord, back and forth, interaction of what this complaint was. We just read it. And the Lord answers his complaint. And the Lord, and Habakkuk hears that complaint and responds to that word of the Lord. And after that, the Lord gives him confirmation. It's a back and forth. And in the last chapter, you see the song of Habakkuk, praising the Lord, even though the Lord is giving him a message of destruction, a message of judgment towards the people. This is what we need to understand. That is what's contained in this oracle. He pens a praising, a thanksgiving, but also a message of judgment. So, understanding that, what is the context of this oracle? This context, most scholars would say, that is during the reign of King Jehoiakim, which is one of the sons of Josiah. Josiah, if you remember, was a man of reform. He reformed the worship that was in Israel. But the people, after he died, the people did not listen to him. After that, the people rebelled. And his sons took up their kingship after him. And they turned the people away from the Lord by worshiping idolatry. And so all the things that Josiah did, all the things that the Lord did throughout Josiah, the people rebelled against. And that is the context that Habakkuk is saying. And if you read 2 Kings 23:34 and Jeremiah 22, you see and understand that the same words that Habakkuk is saying in this passage is the same words that the prophet Jeremiah is giving to the people during the time of rebellion. But also that this is the same thing that the people are experiencing during those times. And so we need to understand the word of Habakkuk, how it's given to him, during a time of rebellion, a time where the people are not obeying the Lord. This is important to understand that. That is the context of everything in this oracle, this short oracle that we have from Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a person that resembles the Lord Jesus Christ. He points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the one who carried the most burden to give the message to the people? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it throughout Matthew. On that Sermon on the Mount, people giving the word to the people. And many people are not listening, especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But the Gentiles are hearing, they're seeing the miracles, they're responding, but his own people are not responding to the message. His own people are not listening to him. Jesus is the one who carried a lot of burden, the most burden. He was a prophet, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. A prophet that he is the prophet of Jehovah. He is the prophet, the main prophet that carries the burdens of the people and that carries a burden, a message of burden. Jesus fulfills this. And so you need to understand that even through Christ, even Christ felt the burden. Even Christ felt the shame that Habakkuk felt. And it points to the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you yourself, do you understand that the word of God is for especially for his ministers is a burden? It is weighty, something to be reverenced. You are to be moved and induced by high esteem of the word of God. It is a burden for all those who stand and speak and proclaim God's message to the people. I remember this past winter, I took a class in Presbyterian church history. And my professor told of a story when a young minister came to him who was exhorting his congregations, and he wasn't really seasoned in sermons and he was learning. And he went to my professor and said, "You know, when do you lose the nerve? Being nervous in front of a congregation, being nervous to deliver a message towards the people. When does that go away? When does that lose? When do you lose that?" And my professor, I can just see him like just stroking his beard and just thinking. He told this young man, "If that happens, you let me know. And I'm going to tell you that you should not be preaching anymore." The reason why is because these are weighty words. These are burdens upon those who give it. Everybody struggles delivering this message to the people that they deliver to. And so, with that being said, you are to pray for all who deliver God's message, all who proclaim God's message to the people. You ought to understand that they do carry a heavy burden upon them. You ought to thank them. You ought to encourage them. And you are to submit to their words. If it is indeed the word of God, if a person is proclaiming the word, the scriptures, the foundation of all of our faith, you are to listen and obey. In spite of whatever their personality is, however they speak, however they preach, if they are proclaiming God's word, you are to encourage them and obey, because it is a burden and it is an oracle and it is a word given from God to you for you to receive. So understand that. But with that being said, Christ, as a king, he is prophet, priest, and king, but Christ, as a king, even now, sets apart men for the ministry. Men who are stewards of the mysteries of God. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. who carry the message of the apostles, who carry the message of the prophets. Ephesians 2:20, the apostles and the prophets are the foundations of the church. So in that being said, you are to pray for them, be thankful for them, and encourage them. Ministers, elders, all those who seek the office, Habakkuk is an example that your ministry is to be a ministry of prayer as well. Because after a while, this starts off as a prayer towards God. The vision that the Lord gives him starts off by Habakkuk crying out to the Lord. How long, Lord? How long? This is a scary thing that we need to realize. And this is scary for even in our day. A lot of the Reformed preachers, a lot of Reformed ministers, those who exhort and give God's message to the people. The difference that we have in some of these men is that I'm not sure if these men are men of prayer who get down on their knees before the Lord and pray for their denomination, pray for the people, their congregation. All those who aspire to be ministers, elders, you have to develop a life of prayer. How long do you stay in prayer for God's people, for the congregation, for the world, for the whole church? That's where the battle begins, and that's where the battle starts. That's where the battle is going to end, is with our prayers. And the Lord will answer. He will seek to answer our prayers. He will comfort us. But understand that your ministry is to be a ministry devoted to prayer. Most ministers at this point are just smart. I don't know how long do they spend on their knees before the Lord. That is important. And without that, there is no changing a denomination. You can switch denominations. You can switch churches. But you're going to find out that there's problems there, and there's problems everywhere. We have to be a people who pray and pray hard, especially during times of lawlessness, times where people are not listening to God's word and not receiving God's word. So under all that is to show that Jehovah's people receives his special revelation. Now, point number two, Jehovah gives his revelation through his prophets. He sets apart men to bring that revelation to the people. We need special revelation. General revelation is not enough. Yes, we can tell that God is here by the sun, the moon, the stars, and the sky. But we need a word from the Lord, a written word, the word that's been delivered to the prophets. And we need to understand that and take in that word. It is not profitable for us to have just general revelation. We have to have what we call special revelation. And this is it, the Bible. And it was given to the prophets, and now ministers proclaim that message. So, the oracle that Habakkuk set apart as a prophet. Not much is known about Habakkuk, besides a lot of people can't pronounce his name, you know. But what we do know is that he is a real man, fallen under Adam. His name could mean embrace. There's a lot of commentaries that would tell you that his name could mean embrace. Which that's exactly what he does actually in this book, is that he embraces the Lord and the Lord embraces him. So, but we also see that he confesses his unconditional faith in the Lord, totally embracing God. And we see in Habakkuk 1 that the Lord is embracing him. In Habakkuk 1, we see that he struggles in doubt, just like we struggle. We see that in the passage that we just read. How long, O Lord? He complains to the Lord. He has a heart for God's people. And he has a heart for righteousness. This is a man set apart for the ministry. A man set apart to deliver the message for the people. But he doubts just like everybody else doubts. His faith needs to grow just like everybody else's faith needs to grow. This is just like every other person that the Lord uses. The message is just not a message for them to deliver to the people. No, this is a message that they need themselves. A message that they need to take in. And Habakkuk is one of them. And that's why the Lord in Habakkuk 2, in chapter 2, which is probably the most famous verse in Habakkuk, verse 4, the just shall live by faith, which is repeated in the New Testament, which was the battle cry of the Reformation. Habakkuk needed to understand that. Habakkuk needed his faith to grow. Habakkuk needed the Lord to confirm him. And so, nevertheless, by him being a fallen man, him being a man that needs God just like everybody else, who's a sinner just like everybody else, nevertheless, God chose him to be his spokesman. God speaks through all the prophets. Numbers 12:6. These are many verses we have here. And he said, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream." You see in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. That's what the prophets do. All the prophets. And we know that in Ephesians, like I said, in Ephesians 2:20, the foundation is upon the apostles and the prophets. So he's a person that spoke for God and communicated God's message to his people and sometimes even their enemies. An oracle given to their enemies. What else we learn about Habakkuk? That this is an oracle that he saw. An oracle that he saw. This speaks to that this is a special revelation given by the Lord. Part of it is vision. Habakkuk 2 shows us a vision that the Lord gives to Habakkuk. Part of it is vision. But the other part is actually inner perception that Habakkuk has through the Holy Spirit. And so it's both. The example is in other prophets. You know, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah. Again, the gospel, you can say it's the gospel according to Isaiah. So much that the Lord proclaimed through the prophet Isaiah. It's not only a vision, but it is a proclamation that Isaiah sees, which, and again it says, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah. Amos, chapter 1, verse 1, words of Amos, who was among the shepherds, which he saw concerning Israel, the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Micah, chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord that came to Micah, or Moresheth, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. It's not just a vision, it is a proclamation, an inner perception that the Lord gives to the prophets to speak to the people. And so you have those examples in other prophets. But what we do know is that the word was proclaimed and the word is always to be proclaimed, especially in times of judgment. You cannot pick and choose what message you give to the people. The prophet couldn't do that. The servant must communicate what the Lord gives him. To add, to subtract, will make him a false prophet. The contents is for the good of all of God's people. Those who are to hear the message from the prophet is to hear it and rejoice and be thankful, even if it's a message of judgment. They are to receive it with thanks and give praise to God, because the worst thing that God can do to a nation, to a church, is to bring a famine of God's word. Like it says in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord." If we do not have someone who can proclaim God's message to the people, if the message is not received, the Lord can bring a judgment of a famine, bring a famine in the land, a famine where the word of God cannot be heard. That is a scary, scary thing. But the Lord can do that. He has done that in nations, and the nations crumbled. They turned their backs on the word of God, and it ended up, those nations ended up being judged. We see it all throughout history. Those who have listened to the gospel, where the gospel flourished and prospered, and there was so much prosperity in those nations, but they turned their backs on it, and the Lord gave them a famine of hearing God's word. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. And so we ought to take heed of everything that the word of God gives to us, that all the words that are being proclaimed out of God's servants. We ought to hear it, and we are to receive it. We ought to give thanks that the Lord has given us supernatural revelation, that the Lord give us this for our own salvation. We ought to be thankful that men still are set apart by King Jesus to deliver God's word to the people. But this also, we got to be careful here, because this also is a rebuke to those of who we rightly can call heretics. Habakkuk is a prophet that does communicate with the Lord and receive special revelation. But this is something that the Lord does not do today. In Hebrews 1, verse 1, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." We don't have a person that can just, and there are many out there today, and they are popular, very popular. Even they call themselves Calvinists, that say they speak to the Lord, and the Lord gives them a message to the people. They receive wide followings. But that's not what we should look for. That is not what the Lord has promised. The Lord has already spoken through the Son, the last words, but through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and given to the apostles. And so there is no new revelation. And if you speak to these people and you push them and saying, "Well, if you speak to the Lord, is your word authoritative? Is it infallible? Is it inerrant?" And if they are any type, you know, as far as being orthodox, they would say, "No, I can't say that. Maybe a little bit, but I can't say that as much, you know, as fully saying that this word is authoritative." Well, then it's not a word of God. It's not something. This is something that you can't just speak things and say that you have spoken to God. And it's like a new revelation that you give into the people. You're a false prophet. This is not something that we should even listen to. This is something that we should rebuke. And we have to be watchful for this, because many preachers today claim this. But we do know that Christ does speak through the prophets, through the scriptures. All of the scriptures are the words of Christ. Not just the red letters that are in some of the Bible, in the New Testament, that are in some of your Bibles. Christ speaks through all the scriptures. So you are to cherish every single word, and meditate upon it and think about it and apply it to your life. You are to cherish the promises. You are to cherish the threatenings. You are to cherish the law. You are to cherish the gospel. Every word that is given in the scriptures, you are to cherish these things and receive them with meekness. Receive them with joy. And receive them as conviction to your souls. This is something that we all need, and we all need to realize. Even the word of Habakkuk, which is the word given to Habakkuk, which is a message that many people just look over. Many people just look over this verse and not dwell upon it and meditate upon it. But this is something we have to stop and cherish, every single word that the Lord gives to us. Also, Habakkuk, him being a prophet, not well known. We need to be aware of celebrity ministries, those who are celebrity pastors. This is a warning to all those who are ministers, elders, deacons, parents, children. Habakkuk was not famous. Even Isaiah, and we read of Isaiah the last time. Many people didn't even listen to him, the most evangelical of the prophets. This is not about having your name in the limelight. This is not about being famous. Habakkuk's message was unique. Habakkuk's message was something particular in him. And the Lord does that with many different servants of him. But everybody is different, and the Lord uses certain people to deliver his message with different personalities, different emphasis. But everybody is used by the Lord who delivers this message. And so you got to be careful of heaping up teachers after yourself, putting ministers against other ministers, preachers against other preachers. Everything is yours. All things are yours in Christ. Every minister who preaches the word of God, all things are yours. And so be careful about heaping up teachers after yourselves. Because Habakkuk, not well known, not much is known about him, except what's revealed in here. But the Lord used him. Out of all these things, we need to realize that this oracle is an oracle that needs to be obeyed, read, sung, as we see in Habakkuk chapter 3. This is something that we all can benefit from. But all of these things point to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one who carries all the burdens, who speaks God's word perfectly, who is the one who died on the cross for all of our sins, and who was raised for our justification. And therefore, the Lord has seated him next to his right hand. And he's coming back. And we are longing for that day when he does come back. But everything that he has delivered through us is for us to take. It's for us to grasp. It's for us to remember and read and meditate upon all the scriptures that he has delivered unto us. If you have not submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not bend the knee to him, none of this stuff matters to you. And if that's the case, you will be damned. You will receive the judgment of the Lord. The judgment that can come in this life, but definitely in the next. And so while there's still time, you ought to repent if you have not done so. And submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will embrace you just like he embraced Habakkuk. And you will receive his love and his mercy and his grace. That is a promise to you. For all those who are Christian, you are to continually strive, to persevere, to read his word, to meditate upon it, to love it, and to receive every word that is delivered unto you. That is our task. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this word and Habakkuk, this short word. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to meditate more and more upon your word. We ask for your forgiveness in ways that we have not cherished your word, of heaping up teachers after ourselves, of falling astray, O Lord. We pray that you would help us, each and every one of us, to present your word, to hold fast to it, to think about it, to meditate upon it. And all these things, Lord, we pray that you would help us by the Spirit to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is revealed through the scriptures. We are thankful for all the prophets, all the apostles, and all those today who proclaim their message to your people. May we relish it, may we cherish it for all the rest of our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.